The president of the UW system says he wants to raise tuition for in-state students for the first time in at least a decade. We've made it to Friday, it's March 3rd, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, Evan Casey reports on the third murder of a transgender woman in just 9 months in Milwaukee. And Danielle Kading has a story about a traditional indigenous winter game called Snow Snake. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
UW System President Jay Rothman says he'll seek the first in-state tuition increase in at least a decade. Rich Kramer has more.
Rothman told state lawmakers today he wants a 5% tuition increase to start next fall. He says it would generate around $38 million in new revenue for the state's colleges and universities.
It is essential that we seek this increase for the long-term financial viability of our universities and to sustain the quality of education, research, and services that we provide.
Tuition at four-year universities has been frozen since 2013. That's when Republican legislators attacked the UW system for keeping large cash reserves, most of which came from unspent tuition money. It's been frozen even longer at the state's two-year campuses. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
At least three transgender women have been killed in Milwaukee in the last 9 months, and that's concerning many in the LGBTQ plus community. 31-year-old Cache Henderson was found dead in her Milwaukee home Sunday after someone shot her and set the house on fire. Aaliyah Hughes attended a vigil for Henderson this week. She says she's worried about her own safety.
It has come dangerous where us trans women do not even want to come out the house because we're in fear that we will be next.
Henderson is at least the sixth trans person to be murdered so far this year. That's according to the Human Rights Campaign. A 2021 national survey found transgender people are more than four times as likely than cisgender people to experience violence. Milwaukee police have arrested a person of interest for the crime, but no motive has been released. A lawyer who advised Wisconsin Republicans on using fake electors after the 2020 election has been reappointed to a state judicial advisory panel. As Sean Johnson reports, the appointment of Jim Tropas was recommended by the state Supreme Court's conservative majority.
Tropas is one of nine members of the Judicial Conduct Advisory Committee, a panel that renders advisory opinions and offers advice to judges. His term there will run until March of 2026. After the 2020 election, Tropas was the lead attorney for former President Donald Trump's campaign in Wisconsin. He oversaw Trump's recount and filed an unsuccessful lawsuit that attempted to overturn President Joe Biden's victory. Tropas also helped orchestrate the Trump campaign's plan to use false electors in an effort to overturn the election. Tropas has a long history with Wisconsin Republicans. He was a go-to redistricting lawyer for the GOP who was appointed to a Dane County judgeship by former Republican Governor Scott Walker. His reappointment to the Judicial Advisory Panel was supported by the court's four conservative justices. The court's three liberals dissented. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
As farmers and animal health officials brace for the return of avian flu, some say new state investment in disease response and prevention is needed. Governor Tony Evers' budget proposal would create a new animal disease response and prevention unit. It also calls for expanding staff at the Wisconsin Veterinary Diagnostic Lab, which does disease testing. Darren Von Ruden is president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. He says producers are eager for more help protecting their animals from outbreaks, especially as the number of veterinarians working in rural communities continues to decline.
As farmers, we certainly know our animals, but we don't know all the logistics that might be involved in what needs to transpire to prevent something.
Von Rudin says there's more public attention on disease outbreaks on farms, and that's likely due to the larger herd or flock sizes that are becoming more common with farm consolidation. Some state experts say the COVID-19 pandemic has also raised awareness around the broader impact of infectious diseases. Coming up after the break, reporter Danielle Kading went to Madeline Island to watch tribal members play a traditional game called Snow Snake. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And finally, it's a Friday. That means it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about a visit to a winter competition.
Snow Snake is a traditional game played by tribes during the winter. It originated with the Haudenosaunee or Iroquois Confederacy out east. Tribal members craft javelins of wood called snow snakes, and they compete to see who can throw them the farthest. WPR's Danielle Kading made the trek to Madeline Island this winter as members of tribes from around the region attended the Mooning Wanakoning Minis Intertribal Snow Snake Festival.
For only the second time in more than 150 years, members of tribes from across the region are playing snow snake on Madeline Island. It's a crisp Saturday in February, and the sun shines overhead as dozens gather on a snow-covered Lake Superior beach. Men 55 and older are throwing snow snakes down what looks like a channel carved out of snow. Paul Ninham is among them. He's a member of the Oneida Nation, which is one of the tribes that make up the Iroquois Confederacy. He's been teaching Indigenous games for almost four decades.
The snake has got to stay in there. It can and it will jump the track at times, so that's no throw. And so what we're doing here is we're just kind of like making up our rules. Everybody's taking three throws.
Someone then uses a flag to mark how far each person's snake went. Ninham just got done throwing a snow snake made by his brother. Unfortunately, it veered off track.
It was going pretty good, I bet.
To the left.
Oh.
Snow snake and other Indigenous games hadn't been played on the island until recently. The federal government banned the practice long ago due to wagering on the games. Oneida Nation tribal member Paul Demain says the game's return is part of a broader effort to restore tribal culture, lands, and language.
We're just trying to bring it back a little bit more into context for the kids and giving them skills and encouragement and fun and camaraderie.
That baby was going too.
Bill Quackenbush threw a longer snow snake made out of maple that he waxed. He clinched the longest throw for men 55 and older at 309 feet. A tribal historic preservation officer for the Ho-Chunk Nation, Quackenbush says the game helped tribal members hone their hunting skills.
You know, in times of old, especially when the deer would herd up, or if you'd have these groups of animals in there in waist deep of snow, a snow snake or a spear of that time would travel very easily across the snow, and you could harvest animals if you needed to in the winter.
Quackenbush says it's good to see the game brought back to a place that plays an important role to northern Wisconsin tribes. Madeline Island is considered the ancestral homeland of the Ojibwe people, including the Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior Chippewa.
Are you ready?
Red Cliff tribal member Sandy Goki, who goes by the name Wenipushtabe, had the longest throw among women 54 and under at about 293 feet. She says the game is a way to honor the suffering that her ancestors went through to hold on to their culture as the federal government forced them to assimilate and give up their lands.
We don't have to hide it. We're right out in the middle of the lake now doing this. 100 years ago to 50 years ago, that wasn't the case. We couldn't do that.
Frank Sprague never knew the game growing up. He's a member of the Gun Lake Band of Potawatomi Indians from Southwest Michigan. Now he makes his own snow snakes using wood like hickory, maple, or popple that's been dried in a kiln so they won't warp over time. He says the game brings tribal communities together.
You know, the wintertime is very tough, very hard on us, and this is just a way for us to get out and compete, you know, in a good way.
Ninham with the Oneida Nation says the game was considered medicine as it lifted people's spirits during the winter. He adds that tribes also use snow snakes to send messages through markings on the wood when villages needed to meet or visitors were entering their territories. Ninham says it's important to restore the games so they'll continue to be played long into the future.
We don't continue to practice and play these games that the Creator has given us, our original games, those games too are going to go away.
While the cold of winter may have settled over the island, Ninham says his heart is warm watching everyone play.
Ooh, that's nice.
WPR's Daniel Kading brought us that story from the Snow Snake Festival. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers are John Davis and Bridget Bowden. You can catch us wherever you get your podcasts every weekday morning. And of course, you can find more news anytime at WPR.org. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday.